House Revenue Committee for March 14, 2007 will come to order. I'm going to take the public hearings in the order in which we've got them listed on the agenda. So we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2965. Chris, did you have a summary for us?
Yes, you should have it. Okay. House Bill 2965 phases out the senior medical expenses deduction for taxpayers above a certain income level. For single filers, it's phased out between incomes of $100,000 to $125,000. And for joint filers, it is phased out for filers between $200,000 and $250,000 of income. The phase-out occurs in $5,000 steps, and it goes from a 100% allowance of the deduction down to 80%, then 60, 40, 20, and 10, and then ultimately to zero. And the change takes effect for tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2008. And it has a preliminary revenue impact of $9.2 million in 07-09 and $15.1 million in 09-11.
Okay. I will simply note for the committee that $9.2 million is the amount that we've been going backwards in this committee. The revenue committee theoretically should raise revenue, and this gets us back even if we adopt this bill. Is there anyone who wants to be heard on this bill? I don't have anyone signed up for it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would be remiss if I didn't express some degree of concern over this step in moving backwards with regard to the senior citizen medical expense phase out. My concern would be that if this is a policy which we should engage in the state of Oregon, it should be done thoughtfully and over a period of time with lots of public testimony, with lots of people and organizations at the table, both pro and con, so that we'll have a healthy discussion, one which engenders a lot of cross-pollination of ideas. And I would be very concerned about a policy which would, in effect, place a greater and greater health care burden on senior citizens just because of a need for more finances within the state of Oregon.
Thank you, Representative Butler. And I agree with the idea that we ought to do these kinds of actions only after due deliberation. And because we don't have anyone signed up for the hearing today, it will be my plan to schedule this for a later time and see if we do better in terms of some input. I was being a little bit flip a minute ago when I mentioned the $9.2 million and how that makes us even. You're, of course, exactly right. And I think one of the motivations for this bill was the idea that demographically the citizens of the state of Oregon are getting older. And while the effect on our budget of these high-income people's deductions is not great at this moment, although $9 million is a lot of money, it will become much greater as people in our generation reach that august age and retire and start incurring more medical expenses. And if we're going to make this kind of a change, the time to make it is now, when the effect is on a relatively small number of people, so that others can make their own financial plans, understanding the difference. And of course, this bill does not have an effect on anyone whose income is below $200,000 as a joint filer, or $100,000 as a single filer. So those people with more or less ordinary incomes are not affected by the bill at all. Is there other comment while we're in public hearing on this bill? We will bring it back and see if we generate more interest in the public for conversation about it later.
Mr. Chair, again, as you'd indicated before, we've and through the last number of sessions dealing with the Revenue Committee, we've looked at a number of possibilities of means testing various kinds of things. This is a good way to open the discussion of means testing by providing it to those folks with $200,000 and more, but also recognize that for the periods of time that we're talking about, that $200,000, if that is not subject to some kind of a index, $200,000 may one day pay for a few months worth of health care in a nursing home. So I'm very anxious about that entire approach, again, for folks who want to try and create some degree of independence and who have saved for that day. So again, I think it's an appropriate subject for us to discuss in a much broader format and forum. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Butler, and I think you've made a suggestion that might be an appropriate subject for a discussion of an amendment to the bill, which, of course, is what public hearings are about. Anything else? Thank you very much. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2965 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2363. Chris?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2363 simply reinstates the adoption expenses credit for tax years beginning January 1, 2007. The adoption credit was created by the 1999 legislature and had a sunset of December 31st, 2005. And that did, in fact, sunset at that time. And for tax year 2006, any adoptions completed in 2006, the credit was not available. A preliminary revenue impact for this is about $700,000 a year. One thing I would like to point out is a link between this credit and a credit at the federal level. The feds have a credit of about $11,000 for adoption expenses, and the Oregon adoption credit is the lesser of two amounts, and the two amounts would be either the federal credit or the amount of expenses less the federal credit, not to exceed $1,500. So the maximum dollar the credit could be or could have been was $1,500. Currently, under federal law, the federal adoption credit is set to expire at the end of 2010. So if that does, in fact, expire, that would largely negate the revenue impact here. The only exception would be an adoption credit for children with special needs.
Okay. Thank you. Is that clear as mud to everyone? So I take it that the current law is tied, if I understand you right, is tied to the federal adoption credit. If the federal adoption credit goes away, then so does ours under the terms of the current statute.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And the statute is the one we're talking about reinstating, in effect, the statute that you're describing.
That's correct. It would reinstate the credit for tax years 2007, and so it would have an impact in 07, 08, 09, and 2010.
Right.
But because the way the statute currently reads, there is a limitation that keeps it at whatever the level of the federal credit is as one of the criteria for the maximum.
Or $1,500, whichever is less.
Correct.
Correct. Thank you. All right. There's a number of people signed up to be heard today. We have about an hour and 40 minutes, so I'm going to ask people to make their presentation succinctly. And we will allow time for a committee to ask questions. And I'm just going to read the list from the top and ask for Robin Pope to come forward first.
Thank you, Chair Barnhart. Settle in here. Chair Barnhart, members of the Revenue Committee, my name is Robin Pope. I'm an attorney in private practice. I'm here today as a representative of the Oregon State Bar. This is an Oregon State Bar-sponsored bill, which I asked them to get into the process last year when we discovered the tax credit had expired due to the sunset clause. Do you all have a copy of my written testimony? Okay. I don't intend to read it, but I am going to touch on points within it.
Thank you. That's an excellent procedure.
I thought you might appreciate that. I introduced myself in the first paragraph. I think I just want you to understand that I have a lot of experience in the area of adoption, and I also have been coming down to the legislature since about 1991, lobbying on behalf of adoptive families and children. also on family law matters. And I have served the state of Oregon in a variety of capacities, all on a volunteer basis, because I am in private practice. And I just happen to think that these are important things to do. One of my colleagues asked me, why are you doing this? Why are you going down tomorrow to testify? I'm here because of the children of the state of Oregon, because I believe that our children are our future. And one of the things that we want to provide for our children are homes where they can grow up and they can be safe and they can have parents who love them, whether it's a single-parent home or a home with two parents. And it's where parents are able to afford to raise them and educate them and clothe them, have them play sports and do all of those things. My clients over the years have told me that the tax credits, both the federal credit, which is larger, and the state credit, have been really helpful. Many of my clients have said, Robin, without these tax credits, we couldn't afford to adopt our second child. And that's true for some families. I went to court... I just want to recognize that there are families here today. I'm normally down here by myself, and we found out this weekend about the hearing. And with just a few emails that went out to a lot of people, these people are here today because of their families.
It's music to my ears, Mr. Chair. I want you to know that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I went to court this morning out in Hillsborough to help a single parent client of mine finalize her adoption. She makes $40,000 a year. She adopted a child through a private Oregon agency. And that child, but for the birth mother choosing to place through the private agency, would have, without a doubt, been in DHS custody because of the birth mother's use of drugs. Instead, by placing that baby through the private agency, my client paid the agency, I actually checked before I came, she paid the agency $10,000. She paid me, I think, around $800 to finalize the adoption for her. But that's still almost $11,000, and then she had other costs connected with that. But we now have a child who is not in DHS custody. We have a child who is not on the Oregon health plan. She is covered by this woman's health insurance through her employer. And we have a child whose adoption costs were borne by the adoptive family rather than by the state of the Oregon and the taxpayers. And that's what I'm trying to point out in my written testimony. And I've gone through numbers, and I'm not normally a numbers cruncher, okay? And in the last day and a half, I tried to compile some statistics for you to show you the number of adoptions that are happening in Oregon and ultimately the number that would be impacted by your decision. And the Department of Revenue was wonderful. I called yesterday many, many times before I got through, and they today called me back and said in 2005, the last year we had the credit, we had approximately 600 families who used the credit when they filed their taxes. And when they used it, they had an average credit of $1,290. And I did the math in here. I can't do it in my head. I'd have to look at my notes. But when you look at that figure, and then if you start to look at the cost of what, like this little girl this morning, had she gone into foster care, had DHS and the state then had to go ahead and try to perhaps reunite birth mom with the child, classes, support systems, counseling, social services, court proceedings probably to establish paternity. I just finished working on the Uniform Parentage Act work group for the Oregon Law Commission. We spent the last year and a half looking at parentage issues. We did a lot of talking about establishment and disestablishment of paternity. It's not a cheap process. You have blood tests. You have legal fees. The state of Oregon, typically with a birth parent like this, would pay not only legal fees for the state's lawyers, but also for court-appointed counsel for the birth parents, because they typically are indigent and would qualify for that help. So we have a myriad of costs that are not included in the numbers I have here, and I apologize, but I simply wasn't able to pull all of that together, you know, in a couple of days. And if you would like, we would try to go back, and I think the bar would attempt to help me figure out what some of those numbers are. I believe we don't even need those numbers, that simply by looking at the cost, the average cost of foster care, recognizing that these children in foster care would be on the Oregon health plan, recognizing that these children are in the state system and costing the state beyond what you pay a foster family every month, the costs are huge to the state. So every child who never enters that system because a choice is made by a birth parent to place either independently or through a private agency, is money that we're actually saving you. And what we're asking is that for approximately 600 families in the state of Oregon each year, they get a $1,500 credit maximum. The Department of Revenue has already told us that the average is less than that. So when I look at what I've done just since January, I went back through my files really quick and said, okay, which of the adoptions that I've worked on since January, where the baby was born after January 1st, so we know the adoption will be finalized in 2007, which of those children would have ended up in DHS care? I came up with six, three independent and three agency. I called two of my colleagues quickly, and I said, quick, what have you done? They went through their files quick. I've quoted the numbers in here. So I came up with 15 children just between three of us. That doesn't count the other lawyers in the state of Oregon who also handle adoptions. We could try to get those numbers. I'm not sure I could get them, you know, real quickly, but I could try to get them to you. But I'm trying to show that if you extrapolate out, if between three of us who've done this, we have 15 children and we're not even at the end of the first quarter, we are easily going to be able to hit that target number of pulling 63 children out of DHS system and not only save the state money, okay, I mean, I think it'll be a substantial sum of money that will ultimately be saved, because it's not just the foster care cost, it's all those other costs that are wrapped up into providing for that child. The cost of adoption, I think some of the folks who are here today, they're going to testify personally about what their adoptions have cost. I've tried to give you an idea of what my clients pay on average, this range. And these are for independent adoptions and for non-DHS agency adoptions in the state of Oregon. It's not cheap to adopt. Not all, but most adoptive parents get to adoption first going through infertility, which is not a cheap process. It's very expensive, not covered by most insurance. Most people, the costs of adoption are not covered by insurance. It's not an employer benefit. So this is money that they're having to come up with out of their pockets. When I look at what my clients earn, some of them wouldn't qualify for the tax credit even if you reinstate it. But some of them will. Some of those 600 families, and those are the families that I'm here being an advocate for today, and asking that you please strongly consider passing this bill onto the full House with a do pass recommendation, and that you all support it, because again, ultimately, it's the children. I'm sorry. I care a lot about this issue, and I care a lot about the children. And I would really like to see all of these families who sent me letters in the last 10 days. Okay? I didn't make 20 copies. I didn't think you guys would like me to kill a tree to do this. But these are from families, their friends, their relatives. There are some from adoption agencies in here. These are people, your constituents, who care about this. And they asked that I bring their letters to you today, and I understand now that I really can't give this stack to you. I don't really want to go make the 20 copies, but I will. Some of these people have sent them to their individual legislators. Some have not. But I'd like you to realize that there are a lot of people out here who care about this issue. And you represent them, and I hope that you make, for our children, the right decision. Thank you. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Pope, can you give us some indication of how much the foster family payments would be? And I want the record to reflect that that is only the tip of the iceberg in terms of what a family would be paying for support for a child.
Thank you, Representative Witt. And Chair Barnhart, I actually obtained some numbers from DHS yesterday from the Foster Care Division, and I tried to include some of them in here, not all of them. But what they told me, and I pulled off the information they gave me, is that the average estimate for statewide, some counties it's less, some counties it's higher, but it's $1,018.91 per month per child. And so then I did the times 12 to come up with a little over $12,000 per year per child. That is just foster care payments to the foster family. That's nothing else. And the data they gave me said it does not include administrative costs. I'm presuming that it does not include legal fees. It does not include the cost of the Oregon Health Plan to cover these children. And I don't know what that cost is, but I'm assuming we could find that if we need to. So that was the answer that they gave me, Representative Witt.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Other questions? Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Let me just say that I've gotten quite a packet already. So I certainly don't insist that you kill another tree.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm going to call the rest of the people who have signed up in panels. It looks like you're all supporters of the bill. And so let me call forward Paul Smith, Dr. John Henning, and Robin Waterstrat. I hope I'm close. On deck is our Kelly Cobb, David Bradley, and Ruth Kramer.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, my name is Paul Smith. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to testify today in support of HB 2363. Before I begin, my employer, the Oregon Department of Justice, insists that I let you know that I'm here in my personal capacity and not in any professional capacity.
Believe it or not, that's useful to know. We appreciate it.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, my wife, Bryn Whitmeyer, and I, Bryn couldn't be here today because she's home ill, are the proud parents by adoption of an almost one-year-old daughter, Sophia. Like many adoptive parents, when we decided to adopt her, one of the most pressing concerns for us was the expenses involved in the process. Our adoption was an agency adoption through the Boys and Girls Aid Society of Oregon. We were lucky enough to work with Robin Pope, who just spoke before you. As Ms. Pope testified, the expenses can vary. For my wife and I, they amounted to about $20,000, which we paid out of our pocket. I think it's not unusual for many adoptive families to face expenses anywhere between $30,000 and $40,000 per adoption. My wife and I were lucky. Our adoption was relatively straightforward. There weren't any legal complications along the way. And I want to emphasize that the presence of Sophia in our lives is worth every penny we paid. We would pay double. We would pay triple. But the expenses were certainly a concern for us, as they are for most adoptive families. Because we believe that adoption is such an important part of our society, it's such an important way that families are built in the society, we would certainly urge you to support 2363. And we believe that the public policy of this state should support adoption and adoptive families. And one way that it can do that is by reinstating the state tax credit that was available from 1999 through 2005. I would note some of the most financially difficult years that this state has faced. And we would urge this committee and this legislature, now in times that our outlook, our financial outlook, is at least somewhat brighter, to reinstate this tax credit. I certainly understand that your concerns as legislators, especially on this revenue committee, have to do with how much money the state brings in versus the costs that the state has in all of the programs. And that's why I think Ms. Pope's comments about how this will actually save the state money, both short-term and long-term, I think are very important. I won't go over the numbers. She did a much better job of that than I ever could. But I would point out something that I mentioned in my written testimony, a study that was done by the American University Department of Economics looking specifically at the cost saved by moving the cost saved to the federal government by moving children out of the foster care system and into permanent adoptive families. And that study suggested that for every dollar the federal government could spend in moving children into permanent adoptive families, they would save $3 over the long run, just because the families provide a stronger basis for these children less money in the foster care system, these children are more likely to be educated, be taxpayers in the future, less likely to be in trouble with the law. All of these things are important, and this is one of the reasons why adoption is so important. Of course, beyond the financial benefits, I think there are a lot of societal benefits to adoption that I think HB 2363 helps support. Possibly first and foremost is that for every child that is adopted, there's one less child, there's one less potential abortion in the society. I certainly don't intend to make this a political commentary about that, but adoption offers a choice for women facing unplanned pregnancies who might otherwise choose choose abortion. And the fact that these women know that there are good adoptive families available is one factor influencing them to make the choice to place their child for adoption. Additionally, as I can attest, and I'm sure every adoptive parent here can attest, we go through extensive background checks. There's a lot of screening that adoptive families go through that, quite frankly, most families don't have to go through. I don't regret that screening, and I don't hold any grudges that my background got looked into as closely as it did, because I think my daughter is better for it, that she has a safe, stable home that my wife and I can provide. And the final societal benefit that I think adoption provides is it just provides an additional avenue for families to be built, not only for families with one child, but for families to add children in the future. And families are the building blocks of society, so anything that the state as a public policy can do to support the building of families, I think, is important. Beyond the text of the measure as it is right now, I would ask this committee to consider making one amendment to the measure as it currently stands, and that is to make it retroactive to those, admittedly like myself, whose adoptions were completed in 2006. As the measure currently stands, it would apply from adoptions completed 2007 forward, and the previous adoption tax credit applied from 1999 to 2005. That would leave a gap of 1 year for those families, those 600 families who completed their adoptions in 2006. And it seems to me that as a matter of fairness, if this committee and this legislature felt that it was a good public policy forward, and it was a good public policy from 1999 to 2005, there's not really a good reason why it wouldn't have been a good public policy in 2006 as well. And for that reason, I would encourage this committee to look into possibly amending the measure as it now stands. Beyond that, I would just urge this committee to look closely at this measure. I believe it's a good measure. I believe it supports adoption, which is very important in this society. And would urge it to move this measure to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you very much for consideration of my testimony, and I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee might have.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Let's go to the other panelists, and then we'll see if there are questions.
Hi, Representative Barnhart. Thank you for this opportunity and the committee members. My name is Dr. John Henning. I'm a research geneticist with the United States Department of Agriculture. I'm also on my own private business here. My wife's name is Cynthia Hunt. She's a pediatric nurse, and she has a specialty with pediatrics, of course. She couldn't be here to testify because she's at work. But anyways, several years ago, my wife and I had a dream, and that dream was to adopt a baby girl. We looked at the costs that were associated with it, and my initial statement was, there's no way in the world we can afford this because it's way too expensive. And we started looking into it just to find out some various possibilities and found out about the adoption credits. It was at that point, and I should mention I'm very fiscally conservative, I agreed that we should go ahead and adopt because I saw a possibility because of the adoption credits. We refinanced our home and came up with the total dollars that we feel that we're going to need to adopt our future child, who is a special needs girl. And so I'm not necessarily concerned about us getting repaid for what we're doing, because we're going to do this regardless of whether it passes or not. But those credits are going to come in greatly. They're, you know, they're going to be very good for us to be able to at least recoup some of the costs. Our estimates for the adoption that we're looking at are about $23,000. And as I mentioned, we're definitely depending upon the credits to help defray some of these costs. I think it's in the state's best interest, and I'm speaking as a citizen here, the best interest to show this, show our state to the nation as a state that supports adoption. And I feel one of the best ways to do that is to continue having an adoption credit that will help parents to adopt. I mentioned that we would be able to move forward with this adoption regardless of whether we get the credit or not. There are a number of families in the state, as has already been mentioned by Ms. Pope, that will not and cannot adopt unless there are some form of credits to alleviate the costs. And I urge the committee to pass HB 2363 with a recommendation to vote in favor for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for hearing my testimony, Chairman Barnhart. My name is Robin Waterstrat. My husband Randy and I are in the process of adopting our first child. We came to the choice to adopt as a first choice for how we wanted to build our families, our family. We knew we wanted children, and we passionately believe that every child deserves a home. At the center of our decision to adopt is a belief that we have responsibility to the children, that each of them deserves to grow up in a loving and permanent home with a family. It's not for the faint of heart. I will tell you this, our process, the process can be long and difficult, and it can be unpredictable. We expect our process for our first child to take around 3 years to complete. We started the process on October 2nd, 2005, and we don't expect to complete our process until late 2008. It's a tough process. We've attended educational classes. We've completed a home study. We've gone through multiple criminal background checks. We've gone through medical exams. We've obtained every vital document that you could possibly imagine. We've been fingerprinted. We will be re-fingerprinted. we're getting used to paperwork. But we would do it again in a heartbeat. The adoption process, in addition to being long, is expensive. In our family's case, we expect to spend around $30,000 to adopt our child. It's a lot of money, and it can be prohibitive for some families. In our case, we'd like to adopt two children. So by the time all is said and done, we will have spent upwards of $60,000 to adopt. And again, it's something that we would do in a heartbeat. But it is a drain on finances, and it's hard to do. We've been fortunate. We've basically saved for years to cover those costs. But for some families, the cost of adoption is just too large. We have close family friends who adopted their first son as a special needs child, and they would like to go back and adopt multiple other children. They have the income to support that, but they don't have the finances to cover the cost of the adoption itself. So for them, they rely heavily on the tax credits to really make their dream of building a family come true. And they're the ones that really my heart goes out to, because they depend on this aid. And in the end, the people who are most impacted are the children. It's in our best interest as a society to really make sure that every child deserves a home and that every child gets that home as quickly as possible, for no other reason than because it's good policy and it's the right thing to do.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this panel? Thank you so much. We appreciate very much your taking time off of work today to come and share your concerns about this bill. Kelly Cobb, David Bradley, Ruth Kramer on deck, Sheila Wagner, David, and Lynn Ferrer. Joe, excuse me. On deck is David and Jolynn Ferrer. I got the names wrong. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Kelly Cobb, and I'm adopting the first time as a single parent. This is something I've always thought that I would do. I always knew that I would adopt when it was time to form my family. I had this idea I'd get married first, but, you know, things don't always happen. So I'm doing it as a single parent, and I'm very excited about that. As everyone else has mentioned before, adoption is very expensive. I expect my cost to be about $20,000 when all is said and done. I spoke with a friend of mine at work this morning who she and her husband just had their first child, and we've been essentially pregnant together, except my paperwork pregnancy lasting much longer than hers. Because her child's already there. And when I asked her this morning, how much did it cost her to give birth to her child? Like, what were her out-of-pocket costs? What was not covered by insurance? And I thought this was a fair question because we have the same insurer. We work for the same company. She said her out-of-pocket cost, she said, oh, you know, it was more than $500, but definitely less than $800 to give birth to a child. So for she and her husband to form their family, $800. $700, pretty inexpensive. And I compare it to $20,000. It's definitely a much lower cost option. But, you know, for me, I want to adopt, and that's my choice. So I knew this going into it, though. I knew that it was going to be an expensive option, and I prepared. My income supports it. I've saved, invested my money over the years, so I knew I could handle this. All the same, it's expensive, and so I went to my employer with a proposal letter. I first talked to the benefits administrator, and I said, you know, please tell me the benefits that a biological family gets. And they said, well, you know, 6 weeks, 70% paid, due by insurance. Oh, okay. So she said, why? Are you pregnant? I said, well, no, I'm adopting, and I'm putting together a proposal to advocate for adoption benefits. And her response to me was, well, advocate all you want, but I can tell you the answer is going to be no. I was very shocked. And she said to me, you know, I want our employer, who's the benefits administrator, said, I'd like our employer to also pay for my kids' braces, but they're not going to do that either. I said, well, we actually do have an orthodontics benefit. She said, $1,500, big deal. Said, wow, $1,500, big deal. I've got a lot of things I can do with $1,500. Kind of worked out, since that's what we're discussing here, is $1,500. But for $1,500, what can I do? I could come up with a whole list of things. First, because I'm adopting from China, and because the process is taking longer, the process has gotten slower, our 171H, our petition to adopt a foreign orphan, is expiring with an 18-month validity period, and my adoption taking probably about 24 months from my paperwork going to China until I travel to get my child. That paperwork is expiring, so I have to pay for a new 171H. I have to pay for an updated home study. I have to pay for an updated medical form. I went to the doctor to get an updated medical form for my right to adopt a child and had to pay $82 for the piece of paper, for her to fill out the piece of paper, not covered by insurance. For $1,500, I could spend an additional 3 weeks at home bonding with my newly adopted child. Bonding is even more important for adoptive parents because of children's previous attachment issues. Introducing healthy attachment early is essential to allow children to thrive later in life, in school, work, and in community. For $1,500, I can start a college savings plan for my child. For $1,500, I can begin the fund to go for my second daughter, so I want my daughter to have a sister. So there are a lot of things I can do with $1,500.
Thank you very much.
My name is David Bradley, and I will be succinct. I'm work at a brewery, and I'm not being paid to be here. My wife and I have a daughter, Madison, who we adopted in 2004. As I'm sure everyone will tell you here, she's the light of our life and the greatest thing that ever happens. This credit for our second daughter, who we are in the process of waiting for, will not make or break whether we will accept her or openly into our arms or not. We are going through with it regardless. But I think something that is so very important is the fact that some people, although as adoptive parents we have to go through, I'm sure you've heard already, rather strenuous scrutiny and a lot of criteria that we have to pass. Some of people don't necessarily pass. Some of them just barely pass by on some of the criteria, such as finances and for some people, as you've heard already, $1,500 is a huge deal. My daughter, when we adopted her, almost all of the money that we got back in tax credits didn't go to us or to the expenses because we knew about those going in. But we did put them into a fund for her education because we really feel that, she is the future for us and for, a lot of people. And having that money to go directly to her, I thought was the best way to invest that money. It makes a big deal. It's $1,500. But, by the time she will be old enough to appreciate it, it's going to be a lot more. And I think that for those of us who, are doing this process and will do anything to get it, I think it would make a huge difference to be able to pass something on to our daughters and our daughter's kids. I really think that, in the process that we've discovered that there are a lot of inequalities or unfairnesses between adoptive parents and natural parents. And I think though there we probably will never, get them all even, I think that, being able to provide a credit will be a good faith effort, I think, for the state of Oregon to show that, you're interested in not just adoptive families or natural families, you're interested in families. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Ruth Kramer. My husband and I adopted two children in 1999. That is how we chose to form our family. But we also had a birth child in 1999. So I can cover all aspects as well as one who did receive the credit and why it was so beneficial. We first went for and waited for 3 years for a sibling group through Guatemala through Plan International out of McMinnville. And they said they'd never had this happen, but they never had a sibling group of even two. We had applied and were approved for five. My husband and I were both teachers at the time. He still is a public elementary school teacher, stay-at-home mom now, and taking care of the many needs that come with having so many children at one time at different ages, but also the many different medical things that we discovered afterwards, medical emotionally, medical physically. Not all things are revealed to adoptive parents. I would never go back and change what we've done or the adoption, even everything that we've gone through. We have great medical benefits, but a lot of the needs had to be taken in other ways that were not covered by our health care provider. We ended up paying for all the processes you've heard of. Because it was international, we had to pay more. And one of the other reasons, a sibling group, you have one set of legal fees. It's like Costco shopping. But because they didn't have any, we decided, okay, we were buying and refurbishing old houses to raise our adoption money. So my husband actually went through labor also for these kids. And it was over $25,000 just for the adoption, plus there's the travel costs. And we looked at all the different emotional aspects of doing everything slowly, to adjust them slowly. The transitions are traumatic and form the largest emotional problem that adoptive kids have is grief. Grief over loss of many things, the birth parents, their country. It's traumatic for children at any age. And I can go on and on, but I won't. You have a lot of people. But we had to deal with a medical doctor here who used, with our regular insurance, to take care of hepatitis B. One-third of adoptive children adopted internationally have hepatitis B, as do the children in Oregon because of the farming communities and all of the situations here. But this doctor was not knowledgeable and gave my son some incorrect medicine that stayed in his body and helped to cause him at age of two to be autistic, and also required him to be doubly vaccinated, and his system could not detoxify the mercury. We have since, because of going outside of our health care into alternative medicine, we were able to chelate out mercury, lead, and this medicine, and he is a normal second grader. He is no longer autistic, but we had to take and use a lot of money to go to these different avenues. We've also had to deal with different counseling issues because of things that were traumatic to these children. So for us, the credit helped to be able to pay for all of these unknowns after adoption that most of the people in this room haven't gone through yet because they're in the beginning or it's very recent. And every adoptive family that we have been associated with has something that comes up from this that they have to deal with that is not covered. Rather than having children who are unparented out in the greater society internationally, we believe strongly also that, as a parent mentioned earlier, that these kids need families. And we don't have to have our blood coursing through their veins to consider them our true kids. And having two adoptive and one birth child in the same year, I can tell you the emotions that go into both are very strong. And in fact, with the adoptive children, we were bonded with them for 3 years before we met them. And it was intense emotional feelings. So as far as some people saying, you know, you feel differently about, you don't. You just don't feel different between, and you shouldn't feel different between your adoptive and your birth children. So I advocate for the mere $1,500, which hasn't even touched anything that we've spent past adoption costs for any of our different medical, a myriad of medical issues, parasites and bacteria that doctors here were not familiar with to try and deal with so that you can have healthy citizens here in the state of Oregon.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Are there questions for the members of this panel? Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Sheila Wagner, David and Jolene Ferrer, and then on deck, Heather Friesen. You may have it on your own.
Oh, well, I'm David Farah, and this is my wife Jolynn, and our son Joseph, who we finalized his adoption in 2006 during the shadow period for this adoption credit. For us, it's been the same as has been described. I mean, I won't repeat what everyone has said. We were fortunate in that we adopted through our church's adoption agency, and the church actually subsidizes part of the agency cost. But we did come out near $7,000 that we ended up paying out of pocket. I'm a big fan of this. For us, it's important to have this tax credit. At the time that we adopted Joseph, I was a PhD student on a graduate student stipend, and my wife was a part-time preschool teacher. So for us, the amount, you know, perhaps the amount was less than, but proportionally, it was a big chunk of money for us. I think it's important to level the playing field with people who have children naturally, biologically, that people have mentioned. That was brought home to us also when we talked to some friends who were pregnant at the same time we were adopting Joseph, and who we asked them how much it cost. It was something like a $10 copay or something for for them to have their family. I think one thing that I haven't heard mentioned yet, that because we finalized in 2006, we claimed the federal tax credit, and in Oregon there's an adjustment, there's an income adjustment for the money for federal income tax liability, and because our federal income tax liability was brought to zero, We weren't able to claim a federal income adjustment, so we actually paid more. We actually paid more than we would have had we not adopted Joseph. So we actually were financially penalized by the state of Oregon for adopting, in a way. I mean, it wasn't by much, but our income's small enough that the numbers aren't huge. But and that seemed unfair to me. But so I would also say it would be great for us if there could be an amendment added to make this retroactive for 2006. I think that's all I have.
Thank you. Are we going to hear from Joseph, too?
I think I would just add that, you know, we're young. We started our family
as soon as... For the record, would you state your name, please?
Oh, I'm JoLynn Fair.
Thank you.
We're young. We wanted a big family. We started as soon as we possibly could. We're unable to biologically. And we were saving every single one of my preschool checks to pay for him. And it wasn't a lot. Plus, we were saving 10% of his income and all of my income. And so $1,500 is a lot of money to us. And having to pay $1,100 in taxes, we had to take that out of our savings for our next baby. So I'm not really sure how we're going to do that one, but we've started the process again. And I guess we're just hoping for a miracle to be able to pay for the next one. But so we would really appreciate this credit as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there questions for this young family? Yes, Representative Gelser.
Thank you. I just had a comment. The Farrers are my constituents from back in Corvallis, and I just wanted to thank Mr. Farrer for writing to me about this issue and allowing me to request you to hold this hearing. And so thank you for bringing it to my attention, and thank you to the chair for responding so quickly to the request.
Well, you're very welcome. When does it become Dr. Farrer?
I am a doctor now.
Oh.
I graduated also during the year, during 2006.
Lots of things happened in 2006.
Yes.
Thank you, Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, I've got to declare a conflict of interest. Joseph plays with my granddaughter in Corvallis, and I've had the pleasure of meeting Dr. and JoLynn Fair and our son and daughter-in-law's home, so it seemed to belong great. A very wonderful family.
A very small world. Other questions? Thank you very much. I appreciate your bringing Joseph today. As a grandpa wannabe, I'm always glad to see young children. Let's see. We have Representative Gelser would like to be heard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Representative Sarah Gelser, and I represent House District 16, which includes the portions of Benton County that are Corvallis and Philomath, and two people living in Linn County. It's true.
I bet you know their names, too.
I do. That's crazy. I wanted to thank you again, Mr. Chair, for holding this hearing. I was very interested when I received Dr. Farr's email to learn that this credit had expired. I have experienced this tax credit. One of the greatest fortune that I have in my life is to be the mom of four kids, two of whom came to our family through the process of adoption. Much to the consternation of the individual that helps us prepare our taxes, our first adoption was finalized on December 27th, 1998. Which meant that we were several days shy of benefiting from the Oregon Adoption Tax Credit that first time around. However, the second time when we finalized an adoption in the year 2000, that credit coupled with the federal credit was part of what made it possible for us to move forward with building our family. You've heard today about the costs of adoption, and I know that before we adopted, I heard often about how expensive adoption was, and once we realized that adoption was going to be part of our lives, I wanted to find out what those costs were. And as an adoptive parent, it's important to me that people understand what it is that those costs and expenses go for.
when you begin the process of adoption, you've heard from many of these folks, whether you go through a private agency or a private attorney, we did both, one time each way. You start with a home study, which is a very expensive process before you even include the cost of doing an extra special cleaning of your home to prepare for the people that are coming to visit with you. And then you have your attorney fees, your adoption agency fees, the medical fees, and the medical costs of the birth mother. In our case, in our second adoption, there was a change in the way that law was interpreted in Oregon. So in addition to paying for our own attorney fees and the attorney fees of our daughter's birth mother, we also needed to pay for attorney fees for a third and separate attorney for our daughter's birth father, because they were not married to one another. They both had a separate legal interest in our daughter and in relinquishing the rights to custody. So that of course increased the costs. Like many families who go through the adoption process, there are other costs that enter in that don't become part of the overall cost that is there. In our case, in 2000, when we completed our adoption, we were still working to pay off our home refinancing and the other things that we had done to be able to afford adoption. And we had the unfortunate experience of three failed adoptions over the course of 4 months, one of those being a case where we were actually there for the birth of a beautiful baby girl. I cut the umbilical cord and we cared for her for a while, and then that adoption was not able to move forward. And of course, we were happy to follow through with paying the medical expenses that had been incurred to that point, and this woman's attorney fees, and of course our own as well. So by the time we got to the point that we were able to bring our daughter home and complete that adoption, the expenses over the course of that year related to adoption were very, very high, and all very, very legitimate, and all absolutely priceless, and worth every moment of sorrow and exhaustion, because I believe that ultimately our children are ours, and the children come to us that were meant for us from the very beginning of time. One of the things that I've learned as an adoptive parent talking to other people considering whether to pursue fertility treatments or adoption, people come and say, adoption is so very expensive, how can I possibly do that? And if you go and you explore the cost of a fertility treatment, ovum donation, for example, the cost of doing that can be about $7,500 for a single try. So as people are measuring these costs, you know, I can have a pregnancy for this cost, or, you know, for $20,000 I can adopt a child. I have found that as I talk to people about the availability of the federal and state tax credits, that helps them to understand that it can be affordable. I think it's very important as well. These adoption credits do level the playing field to make sure that families that don't have significant means are able to adopt and care for children. We all know that whether or not you're a good parent does not depend upon how much money you have in your bank account. And we're very fortunate to have adoption agencies in the state of Oregon that also recognize that and do fees on a sliding fee scale. However, those costs are still expensive, as are those attorney fees. In the end, we've heard what the fiscal cost is, the revenue cost of this over the course of a biennium, but I think that this is simply the right thing to do to support families, to bring children into their families, to provide homes for children that need good, loving families to care for them, and to make it possible for families to make the choice to bring a child into their lives in this way, and to be able to recoup some of the legitimate legal and medical costs that go along with completing an adoption. So I'd like to thank all the families that came here today, and I'm very happy that there are many children here in the room who've had the opportunity to hear what a wonderful thing adoption is, the way that it strengthens families. And I would echo the words of a previous witness here, that being a mother both by biology and adoption, the moment you see your child for the very first time is a magical moment that is equal regardless of where that child comes from, and it's so important for all children to hear that message of how valued they are to their family. So thank you for the opportunity today, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Representative Gelser? Thank you very much. Are there others who would like to testify on House Bill 2363 today? Yes, ma'am. Come forward, please.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name is Heather Friesen. I was on the list. I wasn't sure I was to come up earlier. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I live in Camas, Washington. So
Yes, I am in Oregon, but my husband works for TriMet. He drives bus in Portland, so we do pay Oregon taxes, and I believe that we would therefore qualify for the Oregon Adoption Tax Credit, should there be one. My husband Brian and I, we adopted three children from Ethiopia. That was finalized last year, 2006. And they are just excellent and wonderful kids, and we are very blessed to have them. They joined our two biological daughters, and so I, too, have added to my family in both ways. We haven't filed our taxes yet, but I do know that the $1,500, should you decide to pass it on, would be a wonderful help to our family. When we did the adoption, we had to rely totally on fundraising. I was working at the time and was contributing a significant portion of my salary toward the adoption costs, which ended up being around $23,000, I think, for the three children. And we are now beginning the process again to adopt their older brother. And I will therefore have to go through fundraising again. And should the tax credit be available, it would be a big help to adopt their brother. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Questions for Mrs. Friesen? Yeah, Representative Berger.
This is a question. I'd just like to comment, Chair Barnhart, that I am really sorry that Mrs. Friesen couldn't see those five beaming faces when she walked up here. They were so proud. It was something.
Yeah, that's true. I noticed it as well. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate your testimony. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard today on this bill? If not, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2363, and we very much appreciate everyone's time and interest today and the explanations that we have heard on this bill. Is there anything else to come before the committee today, Representative Broome?
I'd just like to ask a question on it. Several of the folks testifying today suggested, and I think it's an outstanding suggestion, that we amend the current bill to add the retroactivity to it. I'm just asking, maybe this is already being taken care of, but have those amendments been requested, or are they in process somewhere? And if not, as a committee, can we... I don't know if this is a proper time or we need to wait for a work session. But
well, I think that your inquiry is, are the amendments being prepared? The answer is no.
Okay.
So I think it would be very sensible to work with Chris. And if you want an amendment for a work session, it would be sensible to have it drafted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Butler.
A question of staff. Chris, do we have any indication what the 2006 edition would be in relationship to the chosen cost?
We better reopen the public hearing, because we're talking about the bill now, and rather than simply an inquiry about an amendment. So we'll reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2363. Representative Butler, ask your question again, if you would, please.
Chris, do we have an idea of what the fiscal revenue impact would be by amending 2363 to accommodate the year 2006?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, I would expect it to be around $700,000.
So even retroactively, with the process of filing amended tax returns, you think that folks would come forward and amend tax returns accordingly?
My initial thought would be that they would come forward and file the amended returns, and so that's just the revenue impact.
So then additional follow-up, and I don't mean to sound callous here. What you've got is you've got folks who continued with the process of adopting in 2006, even when the credit was expiring, and we knew in 2005 that it would be expiring in 2006. They continued and proceeded with the adoptions, irrespective of the fact that it might be available.
Correct.
So currently what happened? I think we have some more information.
Robin Pope.
Yes, come forward. And
if I might attempt to answer some of these
yes,
questions,
please.
I'd be happy to.
Yes, that's the purpose of a public hearing. We get to be a little bit informal.
Thank you very
much. And gather information. Go ahead.
Okay. Chair Barnhart, Representative Butler, I'd like to respond to your specific questions. I understand your concern about the 2006 making it retroactive. When I put this bill through the bar, I specifically didn't make it retroactive because we talked about it and we were concerned, and we thought if you as a representative body chose to make it retroactive, then you could choose to do that. personally, I think it would be a good idea, and I agree with the other witnesses who said about ultimate fairness. I think the fiscal impact is still going to be negative, ultimately, because even though we have this estimate of the roughly $700,000, that's only if everyone who qualifies for the credit claims the full credit. And we already know that historically that that has not happened. And then we also know, based on numbers from DHS, the foster care, every year as adoptions happen, kids are not going into the DHS system. It's not unique to 2007. I've been doing adoptions since about 1985. And every year, children don't go into the system because they are placed for adoption. So what is happening, I believe, and I think I've tried to show that with my numbers in my written testimony, is not only is it a wash, I think it's better than a wash for the state of Oregon. I think you come out ahead. I unfortunately can't absolutely prove that to you today. The other thing about 2006, it was just about a year ago that I received a phone call from a woman who said, I just went to do my taxes and found out that the tax credit doesn't exist for 2006. And I went, what? And I pulled out the statute and I said, ooh, ouch. It's sunset. I then went back and looked at the 2005 legislative session, and there had actually been a bill that I believe was in this committee but didn't even make it to hearing. I think it was Senator Bruce Starr from Hillsborough. None of us, and I'm not, none of us are perfect, but none of us in the system, none of us who are typically tuned in, the bar didn't catch it, DHS didn't catch it, private attorneys didn't catch it, individuals didn't catch it. We didn't realize, number one, that it had sunset, and number two, that we had an opportunity in 2005. I would have been down in front of you in 2005, trust me. I would have done what we've done today. I would have done it 2 years ago. I didn't know I needed to do it. So I had clients who were still adopting in 2006 who they were clueless. And not just my clients, but other adoptive parents didn't know until spring of last year. That's when the news started to get out. I tried to publicize it. Some other groups did. That's when people became aware of it. Some of those people just kind of grinned and, you know, and kind of, well, we're still going to go ahead because guess what? We want to be parents. We want to have a family. So I hope that answers your question.
I do have a follow-up question.
Yes, please.
Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Robin, how many children are presently available for adoption through DHS?
I would have to get that exact number from you, but when I look at their foster care numbers, and I'm going to speak from recent memory, we have every day in Oregon about 10,000 children in foster care, and the figures that they gave me that are available on their website is annually about 20% of the children who are in foster care in Oregon are placed for adoption. So that would indicate how many of those children are available. And then we have the non-DHS children. And some of those DHS children actually end up getting adopted through private agencies. There's a coalition of special needs adoption agencies. And those children sometimes get adopted out through that process, also saving the state some money because it's not going through the DHS process, it's going through private agency. But again, the adoptive parents are paying those private agency fees. So I could get you the number. I can call DHS, and if you'd like, I could provide that to your office.
Would you please?
I would, yes.
Mr. Chair, just so that you're aware, I do have a companion bill to this that families that are using the private adoption methods will be able to work more closely with the DHS. In the past, the DHS has come forward and said, not in so many words, but basically by their actions, if you're working with an independent adoption agency, there's really no reason for us to continue to seek an adoptive child for your family to place with your family. And so they kind of stop there at that particular point. That isn't the way that it should be, that all of these agencies really need to work together. And so I do have a piece of legislation, which is actually sponsored by former State Representative Jim Hill, who had this experience of working through a private adoption agency, and there were a group of them, and they found out that if they were working through the state agency or through the DHS, that the DHS basically would do some of the pre-screening and then stop at that point. So it's really a multi multifaceted program to try and get all of the agencies to work together, because if we have 2,000 that are being adopted annually through the DHS, and that number could be 2,500, we want to do that. So, thank you.
Might I inquire as to the number of that bill?
You certainly could, and check with my office if you would.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm not good with numbers.
He doesn't remember the numbers either. Neither do I. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to reference the email from a constituent that I shared with the committee, Chad Taylor of Rainier, who actually instructed his accountant to figure in the credit for tax year 2006, and then when he got his taxes back, the accountant informed him that, in fact, the credit had expired. So Chad and his wife, Stephanie, had entered the process anticipating a credit, which actually wasn't there. So another instance where some folks entered the process hoping a credit was available and are now also hoping that we can have a retroactive amendment here.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this was indeed on the governor's list of things that should have been extended in the 2005 session. No bill was prepared until, if at all, in the last minutes, and so it was truly overlooked. This is an oversight, and we would be doing these folks a great service if we could come back retroactively to January 1st, 2006 to re-implement this. And as Ron has indicated, this is a tremendous savings to the system. If we can encourage this kind of activity, this is great for families and it's great for Oregonians.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Butler. Thank you very much. Anything else now? Do I get to close the public hearing? All right.
We'll close.
Second try. Second time of asking. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2363. And seeing no other business come before the committee today, our agenda having been exhausted, we are adjourned.